Okay, we had gotten up to the Gemara actually on Pei Aleph on the Beis. Today our daf is supposed to be Pei Beis, but we fell a little bit behind. So what I'm going to do is I'll start at the Mishnah once again, just to review it. The Mishnah on Pei Aleph on the Beis, especially considering that Sabbat Josh wasn't here, so we weren't really able to do it properly. And we'll start again.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ashochet v'nimtzat trefa, ashochet l'avadat zara, v'ashochet parat chatat v'shar niskel v'egla rufa, Rabbi Shimon poter v'chachamim v'chaydim. So again, to remind you, the issue over here is a question of whether shchita needs to be matir ba'achila in order to be included in the din of otovet v'no. Remember that we've seen many, many dinim of shchita that are specific dinim, such as shchutei chutz. That's a shchita, even though it's clearly destructive, but it's shchita in terms of being mechayev for shchutei chutz. Or the shchita of a treifa, it'll be matir b'dei nevela, matir b'dei nevela, it certainly won't be matir b'achila. So there are many shchitot which are defined within a specific area, but they're not matir b'achila. And there was the question whether shchita of kotchin is in fact not really a shchita in the sense of tzvah tevach v'hachin, which was Rabbi Shimon's Makor. So here we list the various things that according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that only a shchita that is included in Tvoach Tevach V'Hachin, which is the paradigm of Yosef Rechav's shchita, which means that it's matir v'achilat adam, according to him that's called shchita haru'uya, and only a shchita haru'uya l'achila is considered to be shchita. Therefore, even though the shchita over here is a shchita vis-a-vis the particular halacha of, let's go through them, nimta trefa, it's mitaheres the trefa, avodah zorah, it's mechayev you for shchita l'avodah zorah, even though at the same time it asers b'hana'as, obviously it's not matir b'achila, shochet parat chatat makes the paraduma ru'uya, but it doesn't mean you can eat it. A shor haniskal, if you shecht it, well, at least it's not an avela, but it's still going to be asur b'hana'ah, because at the moment that the Beit Din paskins that it's a techayev skila, it's already asur b'hana'ah. Egla rufa, we'll see later on, at the moment that it comes down, well, actually it's a machloket, let's assume, that's the shita, at the moment that it comes down to nachaletan, you need that ala nachaletan o sarta. Actually, the shita holds the actual lakicha of the Egla Rufa asks it. So in all these cases, Rabbi Shimon Poter, did you do this already, Rabbi down there, or you slept through this?
What's that?
See that? Gotcha.
No, I just kidding.
Would you remember where you...
To the,
where were you up to?
What?
Down at the Dead Sea. What did you get up to?
We got up to where we kept on...
But at least you now...
All
right, but now you appreciate the being woken up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was finished. I just got lost.
Okay, so now you know what friends are for. Just be prepared for new methodologies. Here, because they hold anything that's a shchita, in terms of a halakha of shchita, even if it's a limited application, such as to be the time and avela, and so on, which matir parashatas, that's still called an act of shchita, and therefore, why should it not be a chiyuv of otovet b'no on that act of shchita? On the other hand, a shochet v'nitam labiyado, if the act of shchita itself is pogum, so some mistake was made in the shchita that caused it to become an avela. Or for that matter, obviously, if somebody set out to be nocher u'ma'aker, so somebody stabbed the animal through the simonim instead of cutting through the simonim like a shmita, or was ma'aker the simonim from their mokom instead of shechting them properly, potter mishum otoved beno, everybody there would be motem. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakhi, so today, starting now what we haven't done before, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakhi, lo shonu ala sheshachat rishon la'avodah zarah, v'sheni l'shulchano. This halacha, that if you shochet l'avodah zarah, according to Chachamim, you would be chayev for otoved b'no, because it's considered to be a shchita ruya, that's all very nice, insofar as if the first one was shechted l'avodah zarah, the second one then would be chayev for otoved b'no. But if you did it the other way around, you shechted first for your own table, rishon l'shulchano, v'sheni la'avodah zarah, if you shecht the second one for avodah zarah, you would be patur to come lebe d'rabba mineh, because after all, you're chayav mitah b'shechita la'avodah zarah, and therefore you cannot be chayav malkut for the same thing that you're mechuyav mitah. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan, that's really brilliant. I mean, we really need you to teach us this. Zu afila tenokot shobet rabban yodim. We could have Bobby teach that to his kindergarten kids that'd be bored. Who doesn't know that? If you want to say something that's new, what you should point out is that pa'amim shafilu shachat rishon v'shulchano v'sheni l'avodah zarah chayav. But on the contrary, tell us a case in which you could be chayav even if the first one was shechted for your own table and the second one was shechted for avodah zarah. Case being, kigon de'atur be'mishum oto ve'etbeno, where the hatra'ah was for oto ve'etbeno and not for avodah zarah. And since you will not be punished, therefore, for avodah zarah, there's no din of kamlei b'derab. I mean, eh? If you're going to say something intelligent. Now, this is all a little bit disingenuous, because the Rabbi Yochanan is quite aware of what Reish Lakish really means to say. What Reish Lakish really means to say is that Rabbi Yochanan's case is non-existent. That's the chiddush. When Rabbi Yochanan comes back and says, well, why don't you say something intelligent? It's because Reish Lakish is specifically coming to say that Rabbi Yochanan's case is not intelligent. And in fact, they're arguing about whether there's a din of kamlei b'derabi in a case where you gave him a hatra'ah only for the lesser chiyuv. And this is the long-standing machloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, was the tamayu. The chiyata of Dimi Amar, chayvei mitot shogegin, chayvei malkot shogegin, v'davar acher, a case in which someone was mechuyev mita had he done something b'mezid, but in fact he did it b'shogeg, he wasn't even aware of the isur. Or someone who, had he done something b'mezid, would have been chayev malkut. But he wasn't aware that he was doing it. And at the same time, davar acher, he was doing something else that was mechayev him for some other chiyuv, such as, let's say, he was doing the chiyuv mita, in which he would also have been chayev malkut for something else, like our case. But let's say the guy didn't realize that shechita l'avodah zarah is mechayev him. But he knows Otovet, but knows us. Or, Chayve Malkot, where at the same time he would be Chayve Momon, let's say. Perhaps he ate Maeser Sheni, someone else's Maeser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So he's Chayve Marafilas Maeser, Lo Tuchal Echol Bisharecha Masar, Begam Chati Roshkad Yitzarecha. And he was also Gonev, the other person's thing. Is he Chayve to pay? So there we have the long-standing Machlokas at Rabbi Yochanan Omer Chayav. Reish Lakish, Omer Patur. So here's a case where clearly, obviously it was a shogeg, you didn't get Hatra'ah for the stronger for you. Nonetheless, Reish Lakish says you're Patur, which is obviously what he's trying to say here in our Mishnah. That the Mishnah has to be constrained to a case where only the first one, Mishchita, was done for Avodah Zarah, because the second one, there is no way to work it out that you should be Chayav Malkus. In contradistinction to what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, right? That's the whole point he's making. And Rabbi Yochanan says, in this case, you would be chayav to halo hatrube, since he never got hatra'ah for the other chiyuv. So memela, he gets the lesser chiyuv. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan chayav halo hatrube, v'yishlak shamer patur, dekivan dechi hatrube patur, since had he been given hatra'ah, you would be patur, ki lo hatrube nami patur. Therefore, even though he didn't get Hatra, he's also Patur. Now, but Tzricha, the truth is that we still need to have this particular case, as well as the standing Machlokas that was quoted earlier by Rav Dimi. And it's not a study of futility, this little discussion between Shlokas and Rav Yochanan, because Yashvinim Baha, had we been given this machlokas on our particular Mishnah, I would have said, well, of course. Ba'aka Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Here you're trying to tell me about a single chiyuv where you have a chiyuv of Misa. And the question is, does the Torah ever apply a chiyuv of Malkus on a chiyuv of Misa? But if you have, because it's all one act of shechita now that's being mechayev me. It's the shechita that is asura. Mashenkin, in those other cases, Avol, the cases that we brought from, that were quoted in the long-standing machlokas of Rav Dimi, maybe it would have been motor to Rav Yochanan. Because, I mean, after all, you're talking about something, one is a chiyav of his good, and one is a chiyav of his moment, and one is a chiyav for one issue, one is a chiyav now, a completely different issue. I stole from a guy. At the same time, I was doing something that was mechayev me. It happened to be simultaneous, but you certainly can't say, well, the Torah was never mechayev a chiyav at a time in which the person is doing something else, which is mechayev and a stronger chiyav. I understand there's a concept of kam le b'rabimineh would only mean if he's going to be punished. And it's clearly if he's been taken to execution, then okay, then that assumes anything else, any other dinim, that we're not going to popkin those dinim on it. But to talk about the question of whether there exists a chiyuv, that's a different issue. There, if it's one act of shechita, I say, I can look at this act of shechita in two ways. So it's okay, the Torah does not apply a chiyuv of malchus with a chiyuv of mis. That's something else, but to say that there's no geneva when there's also another chiyuv, I mean, why would I think that? Over there, I would say that, of course, it makes a difference whether we actually carried out the din or not. That's kum levin rabimineh, but not chayvei mitot shovigin. And on the other hand, if we would have only known those cases, and I would have said, okay, I understand why Rabbi Yochanan in those cases says, look, if you're not going to actually be chayev for what you did, why shouldn't you pay for it? I mean, you stole money from the guy. It happened to be while you were stealing money, we're being over another issue. So why shouldn't you pay him? But in this case over here, where the question is, we need to establish up front, is there a fee of malkut on this act of shechita or not? Well, I said, no, the Torah doesn't pile on various chiyuvim. Take a look at the strongest issue that's involved over here, and that's what's involved. So over there, I would say perhaps he would be motor to Reish Lakish. Therefore, tzricha, we need both sets of machlokas, the general machlokas, and the machlokas that we have here in our mission. Now, our Mishnah made the assumption that the shechita of a parah aduma was, according to Rabbi Shimon, a shechita she'ena ru'uya, which seems reasonable enough. I mean, it's kodesh; you buy it with the money that is given to Berech HaBayit. It's not the same as a carbon, but it's compared to carbon. It's called a chatan. So, problem is that we know that that's not true according to Rabbi Shimon. Because, the Gemara points out, you're telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, the shechita of a parah aduma is considered to be a shechita she'ena ru'uya. But we know, v'atanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, parah mitama tumat ochlin, hoyo v'hayetala sha'at hakosher. Normally, Rabbi Shimon holds that anything, since it says mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, I mean, obviously ochel is asher ye'achel, what's the point of saying ochel asher ye'achel? Rabbi Shimon's limud is from there that ochel shata yochol la'achilo la'achirim is called ochel. Ochel, which is asur ba'ana'an, you can't feed it to somebody else, is not considered ochel. And therefore, thank you. That's enough. Thanks for emergency. Thank you very much, dear President. Thank you. An honor, I assure you. So the ochel here, one would think, how can you possibly take a parah aduma and feed it to somebody? Nonetheless, Reb Shimon holds that it's considered to be ochel. How could that be? By the way, just as an aside, who cares? For Adum itself is Matane. In other words, what's the point of deciding whether it's Ochlin in order to be Matane? Right? So the general solution to these kind of problems with something is Matane, the same issue with Gabi Nevela, is to talk about Parah and blankets. You have, in other words, insufficient Parah to be Matane. But if you add the dough of the blanket, then you have sufficient ochlin to be makabel tuma, but you can't add blanket to parah to be matame as a makor tuma. So there it's very important to determine, is it considered to be ochel itself, and therefore we mean makabel tuma zarekha. And that would be the issue over here as well, we have to say. So now, what is the reason, according to Rabbi Shimon, of parah matame tuma ochlin? Because he claims, there was a moment at which this Porah Aduma could in fact have been eaten without any Isurim. How could that be? The Yomer of Shimon and Lakish, as Resh Lakish explains, Omer Hayara Bishimon Paran Nivdeit Agabe Marakta, that you can actually be Poda Porah Aduma on the very Mareket of the Porah. Could you do me a favor, Rich? Dial my house. Tell Oriel he has 10 seconds to self-destruct. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, even though normally we would say that the Shechita, if it were a carbon, I mean, we wouldn't have been able to be poda it, but over here, even if it's on, still on the Maref, and you did the Shechita, and you find a nicer paraduma that you prefer, you can be poda this paraduma, and yot kola omid lizdot kipadudami. And therefore, according to him, it's considered to be Oakland. But if that's the case, you can't have it two ways. If it's considered to be Oakland for Tumas Oakland, then it's considered to be Oakland as a Shechita. And it's Shechita Ruliyah in the same exact way. So how could we say in our Mishnah that an example of a Shechita She'ina Ruliyah is the case of Poradun? He just warned my wife.
Well, I love her.
Don't stand next to her.
Give him a sec. Baruch Atah Adonai, you know, you know. Come here, good one.
Amen.
Did you
get to I thought I saw the door.
Yeah, I know. I had it before, you know.
Okay. The mess I would be pissed on. Yeah.
She probably panicked. Omer of Shimon ben Ab, Omer of Yochanan, Parat Chatas in a Mishnah. In fact, there is a mistake here. The example of Paraduma should not be in the Mishnah, and the correct girsa of the Mishnah would leave it out. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, clearly if it's Mekabatuma Zerchling, then it has to be considered to be a Shechita Ruya. You can have it both ways. Now wait a minute, says the Gemara. Okay, what about the next case? Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa doesn't make any more sense than Paraduma does. The Egla Rufa lav Shechita Ruyahi. Are you claiming that an Egla Rufa is considered to be something that's not Roy Lachila, but it's none? Nimtza ha-horeg ha-chalote ha-refa ha-egla te-tzei v'te-ra'e be'eder. That if the murderer was found before the Arifa ha-egla, then it's like any other animal, which implies that it didn't become usur until it was actually a roof. Now, Tosis has a lot of problems with this. This doesn't prove anything. I mean, maybe it's only conditional up until the time that we find a murderer. Obviously, find a murderer, and the whole thing is inverted. No, how does this prove anything? Now, Tosis says that actually the Gemara is relying on the latter part, which doesn't bring over here. That it says over there, Mishinerfa tikaver. In other words, the moment that there's an arifa, then it should be tikaver. But if not, it should not be tikaver, which means that it's only the arifa itself that actually would have created the issur. So if that's the case, then if you shechted it before the arifa, it should be kosher. And if it's kosher, then according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a Shechita Ruya. Well, Omer Shimon Lakish, our Mishnah is rapidly dwindling. Mishum Mibianai, Egla Rufa in our Mishnah. And we don't have that example either, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, wait a minute. That couldn't be true. How could Rabbi Yana? Why? Rabbi Yana has no problem. Because Rabbi Yana can easily explain everything away. Omer Rabbi Yana, Gvur Shamati Ba, Vishakakti. I heard a particular limit on the Zman of Heter of the Egla Rufa, beyond which it's too late to be martyred. But I forgot what that limit was. But Nas bin Chavraya Lomar, however, my friends wanted to suggest to me that it's Yiridatala Nachaleitano Sarta. It's the bringing it to the Nachaleitano in preparation for Arifa that would create the Yisr. And if that's the case, according to Rabbiana, there's really no problem at all, because then we could say, if Rabbiana holds that, then Lishne can't call him Yiridaka Meyaka Yirida. I mean, Rabbiana should be the last one who has to worry about taking out the Girsa from the Mishnah, because he could say, the Mishnah it's talking about was already after Yiridala Nachaleitan, where in that case there's no way to be martyred b'shchita, therefore t'shchita she'en ruya. And what we learned before, where if the murderer was discovered, it can go out, we was talking about before it was Yorid Nachaleitan. So how could Rabbiana consistently have claimed that our Mishnah is in a Mishnah? Omrit Yesip Rid Ravani. Look, I don't know where you got, I'll tell you the truth, Rav Yanai from. We never heard this in the name of Rav Yanai. We heard it quoted directly in the name of Resh Lakish, not Resh Lakish quoting Rav Yanai. Anan Rishmeda Rav Shimon Ben Lakish Matznina La, quote, Egla Rufena Mishnah, unquote. And that's all. In Okinami, according to Rav Yanai, there would be a solution for Rav Shimon. Omrit Ashik Yavinu Be Rav Papi Kashila. When we were learning by Rav Papi, we had the problem, how could Reish Lakish be the one who says the din of the Yerida over here? It says that we have a very similar halakha about the Tzipor Mitzora. The Mitzora, as part of his process of becoming Tahor, so he takes the two tziporim, one of them puts the other one into the blood of that, lets it go. And that tzipor, the tziporim are actually also bana'a. And we ask over there, me'ematai ne'esarim, Rabbi Yochanan says only misha'at shchita, and only the one that was shchita, therefore is asura, and the one that was dipped into the dam of the shchita that's let go, is certainly not asura, because why would the Torah say send out the tzipor and then have it flying around the Isser and have somebody checking it? Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, it's actually Misha'at Likicha. Both of them become asurot from the moment of the Likicha until the actual Shiloah. And the reason that Reish Lakish has for this, Bambina, my time to Reb Shimon Lakish, is because he learns out the lashon of lekicha from the lakhuzik ne'ahir from egla arufa, and we find the same lashon over here, the lakach lemitaher shtei tziporim chayot, which means that obviously the Reish Lakish holds that there is an iser mechai. So how could he have said eina mishnah? There's a point at which he's learning that the Egla Rufa, he's willing to say that there's no Gvul here, and then there are Soros Michayim, so in which case the same thing should be true, that the Egla Rufa is Nesar Michayim, and then it's a perfectly good Mishnah. It's a wonderful example of a Shchita Shenaruya. If the Tziporim are learned out from Egla Rufa, then obviously he agrees that the Egla Rufa is a Shchita Shenaruya. So I don't understand. It doesn't help to take Rav Yanai out of the picture. Reish Lakish also doesn't make any sense. Elo Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Yochanan Egla Rufa Eina Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yochanan who said Egla Rufa Eina Mishnah, because he indeed learns, as it says before, that if you find the Harug, then at any point, all the way up to the actual Arifa, you could be martyred, in which case, if you shechted and you never did the Arifa, it should be mutter. So therefore, it's Rabbi Yochanan, but only Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that would have to take out Egla Rufa as an example of Shchita Shenaruya. If you hold that the Egla Rufa is also Michaim, whether you hold like Rabbi Yanai that it's also Michaim, that there's a Gvul, or whether you hold that it's Mutter Michaim all the way until the Arifa, then it basically you have no problem. You have no way of having our Mishnah work out like Rabbi Shimon. Shnayim shalakhu para ubna. Eidu shalakak rishon yishchot rishon. Vim kadama sheni zachah. Two people, one of whom buys the para, one of whom buys the child of the para, the first one to do the purchase has the right to do the shchita first. And if the second one does the shchita first, Why, more power to him. Omer Rav Yosef Lingin Dinatznan. The Mishnah is not telling you anything about something that has to do with Isser V'Heter. It's not as if the Torah said, Shech the mother first, or Shech the child. That it's completely irrelevant to us. The truth is, as we'll see, that the Odin of Oto Vet Beno works in exactly the same way that it's Beno of Oto. It doesn't matter which direction. Mother first, child first. Neither of them are Mutarim. And all that it's saying over here is that two people claim that they need to shech today. They're both making a party, they have to have the meat. Then the first person that bought has the right to shech first, and if they come in front, the best. And then the best will say, look, being as when a person sells an animal, he includes in the sale the right to shech. So the owner of the other animal, before he sold the second one, can't possibly claim and say, well, I sold it to you, but I intend to shech today, you can't shech today. That's ridiculous. The sale includes the right to shech, what I buy. I have to let you know when I want to shech. I, as a buyer, have the right to do what I want, and you have to take into consideration my right as a buyer. But being if that's true, I, as a seller, cannot now sell something I don't own to a second buyer. The second buyer who comes can't have more rights than the seller has. So if the seller gave away the right to check the first one at the moment that he bought it, he can't now sell those rights to the second person. He doesn't own them. Obviously, if you make a deal, you make a deal. So I'm saying that the second guy, therefore, cannot possibly claim that he has the right to check first if this gets to the courts.
It's two different sellers.
If it's two different sellers.
One owns the...
So then that's two different owners.
One
so then there's nothing to discuss.
One owns the...
So then whoever gets there, gets there. The only point over here is where there would be a basis to bring to court my right is against your right. Clearly, when two people are no longer on the day of purchase from a single source, they have that... Both of them have equal claims. How could it come to court? Whoever goes and checks, checks. The second one to check will be over on the law of the arrest.
And you're responsible to find out if it's someone else?
No, we'll see later on in tomorrow's Gemara, but when you're responsible to find out. This is, our president has been very concerned for this issue from the beginning of the parade. But I do want you to know that when you buy meat in a supermarket, shechita never took place, and there's nothing to worry about. No, but actually, it's not your problem as a buyer, it's only as a shohet. So therefore, it's only the inyan dina, it would only be where it was the same day, obviously. If it's not the same day, then there's nothing to discuss. In other words, if it's a day after purchase, all time limits are now up. Whoever goes and acts first acts. The only time that this will happen is if somebody buys an animal on this day, gets the right to check it from the owner of its counterpart, either mother or child, and then he sells that to somebody else, the original seller. Then you come into this problem. Once the 24 hours are up, then everybody's back to where they were. We're now separate people. We have no connection with each other. He can't reserve any rights beyond that time. He can't say, whenever I want to check, I'll check before you check. That makes no sense. Tana, as the Braisa points out, in kadam hasheni, look, if before it gets to court, the second guy who bought goes ahead and checks. I raise the zariz, then he's guy, there you go. That's a guy who does things quickly, and more power to him. He's a zariz, because that way he made sure that he didn't do an insert, because he was the first one to shech. And his niskar, hey man, he's got a good barbecue. The gof of insert, what better scar than that do you want? So the point is that now the other guy's got the problem of waiting. It's only where such a thing would actually come to court. We're over there, okay, if you want to argue it out, we'll tell you that you didn't have rights to where somebody else had wanted to go first.
And then what, there would be some monetary payment?
No, I'm not going to look. If you want to be ba'akim, I mean, then tell me.
Beforehand.
Yeah, I mean,
that you're going
to check. If you say, I bought the rights to check, and you want to check. So. But if it's like this, whoever buys, make sure the other guy didn't check the checks, and then, hey, buddy, I just want you to know, I already checked. Why, you're no good. Too bad. Yes.
Yukta Ha'elikimish.
Shachat Parah. V'yachakach Shnei Baneha. Suppose he shechts the mother and then two children. So it's like Shmonim, each one being a separate Gufa Isur. So as many as you shecht, each one was also to shecht. So you would be chayav twice, Malchus. Shachat Shnei Baneha v'yachakach Shachta. But what if you shechted the two sons and then you shecht the mother? Now there's only one act of Shechita, but that is an act of Shechita that is also for two reasons. So then, so Feget Arba'im. Now we'll see actually that Sumchus later argues, and his argument will be on this case as well, and he would hold for Feget Shmonim. We'll see tomorrow why. Shachata ve'et bita ve'et bat bita. Suppose you shecht an animal, and then you shecht its daughter, and then you shecht its granddaughter. This guy's a veritable Nazi. Right?
Three generations.
Yeah. So then, so Feget Shmonim. Then he has two separate Isurim of Otoved Beno. Obviously, the fact that one is a child doesn't mean that one isn't a mother. Actually, the bigger Kiddush is the fact that one is a mother doesn't mean one isn't a child, right? As every mother finds out as long as they have theirs. So then you would be Sofek Shmoni. Shachata Vet Bat Bitar. How about this case? You shech an animal. And then you shecht its granddaughter. Now there's no Isur of Otovet Beno because we don't say B'nei Banim Kevanim in this case. No. And then you come back and you shecht the middle generation, which is now the daughter of the mother, but the mother of the daughter. So now, that's the Shaila. Again, we're back to the same issue that we had before. The setup has provided two separate reasons not to do this act, but the act is a single act, which is also for two reasons. But the question is, those two reasons are the same issur. Because there's no separate issur of Beno Boto than Oto Ved Beno. So here, we have actually, for the first time, the Machloket. Here it says, Sofeget Arba'im, which is consistent with the Tanakhama. And Sumchas Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Sofek Shmonim, and as Rashi and Tosfot point out, and this is clear from the Braita and the Tosefta that Rashi quotes, that Sumchus argues, of course, on the first case as well, and he would have held the Chayav Shmonim, even in the case where he shechted the two children, and then went back and shechted the mother. Again, you'll see why. But first, the Gemara questions the general assumption that Otovet Beno works in both directions. How do you know that Otovet Beno doesn't mean exactly what it says? Don't shecht the mother and the child, in that order. How do you know that it's the same Isser in shechting the child and the mother? Amai, oto ve'et beno, amarach mana velo beno v'oto. Torah never asked accepting a child and then its mother. Nah, lo sakadai tachtam, so how can be that? The time. Oto ve'et beno, the Braita points out the Lashon of the Pasuk, indeed is oto ve'et beno. Ein li elo oto ve'et beno. How do I know oto ve'et imo? Minayin? Ah, kishu omer lo tishchatu. We're talking to two different people who are doing an Isra over here, right? Well, who are those two different people that are doing the Issa? What? Two people that bought the child of the same mother, and there's no Kiddush in that. Each one is doing Otovet Beno. So, I mean, what would be the point of the Torah telling me that? And if I have five people, I need now five Ribuyim to tell me that each one of the five, obviously it makes no difference. They're each the same thing. If the case is of the other case that we had, which was a Pora, its daughter, and then its granddaughter, in that order, then obviously, well, I need a fuss to tell me that the daughter of one Torah can be the mother of another Torah. I mean, obviously that's an Otovet. I would not need a ribui for either of those two cases. The only case where I would need a ribui is indeed where the Pasuk would have misled me without this ribui into thinking that in that direction it would be Osir. And the only case that I would have there would be that somebody shechts the para, and then one man shechts the para's mother, and one man shechts the para's daughter. And the kiddush is that they're both Otovet Benos, even though one of them is a Beno of Otov. You're looking confused.
Well, could it just
because it's referring to Lo Tishchatu on the same Otovet Beno.
So there's two different people. One of the questions is who did it first?
Well, the one who did it first didn't do an answer. He's simply shepherding an animal. So nonetheless, it's telling us it's pop. I can speak to two people simultaneously and tell two different people not to do the same isur. Now, how could that be? I mean, obviously, I can two people that shech two children. I mean, that's no chiddush. I don't need to change my logic for that. Therefore, it's a brilliant drasha. It's beautiful. So the only thing that it could possibly mean is I'm talking to two people, one who is shechting the ben of the Torah and one who is shechting the Eman of the Torah. I think it's gorgeous. Okay. So therefore, it's got to be Harketa, Echad HaShochet Et HaParah. Therefore, the chiddush over here is that the last two, one who shechs mother and one who shechs daughter, are both chayim. Now, wait a minute. What? I mean, lo tishchatu, don't we need that to tell us legufe? I mean, that's part of the statement of the initial isur. Thou shalt not shech. Well, but it could have said lo tishchot. I mean, and why does that say lo tishchatu? Especially where it could certainly be addressing such a case. All right, fine. But even that I need. I need that too, because had the Torah just said lo tishchot, so I would have thought hava mina chad in trei lo. It's only for the same person. He cannot share mother and daughter. But if one person checks the mother and another person checks the daughter, I mean, then no person is being a Nazi. So memela, everything should be fine, right? Kamash malan lo tishchatu. Even two different people, the one who does the last one is the lo tishchot. So that's important also. Kasa rachmana lo tishchatu afilu trei. That's true, but it's the wrong way to say it. Because lo tishchatu is mashma that two people are doing the yisur, not the two people are involved. If you want to give me the din that they shall not be killed, even though it was not with you, you should have said lo yishachetu, which would have been the passive. They shall not be killed. In other words, the one who is goring that they are killed would be the last one, whatever one he shechs. So then he would be the one that would be chayim. But what's this business of lo tishchatu? Again, you're talking to two different people who are doing, because of the same pora, two different elements of avodah zarah. Therefore, the only case is my lo tishchatu shma minat tarti. Therefore, I learn out from here both of the inyanim. I think it's beautiful. Will the mother and child reunion is only emotion and will. Shachata ve'et bat bita. So comes along Sumchas and he tells us a chiddush that in a case where one kills animal A and one kills animal C, its granddaughter, and then one is now shochet, the one in the middle, who is the mother and the daughter, that over there, the one who checks the middle one would be chayef two separate yisurim. Or, in the case of the reish, which wasn't mentioned, the Pharisee of Sumchas says it in our Mishnah, but nonetheless, he holds the same thing, is if somebody shechted two of the bonim of the same aim, and then comes along someone checks the aim, because the setup is such, there's two reasons. Not to shech that aim, for some reason, there's a chiyuv of shmonim, even though the isser is exactly the same isser, which is very strange. What is Sumchas' reason? Only a bayalur of Yesiv, my time in the Sumchas, the only thing we're forced to say, is that kasava Sumchas, ochal shnei zeteh chelev, behalem echad, chayav shtei chataot. It's got to be that he holds that even if you don't have a separate hatra'ah, the very fact that something can be defined as a separate act of Israel, even though you're in the process of doing the same Israel. So you ate two zekim of chela. Well, the same chela. Nonetheless, he apparently holds that each chet is considered to be, each achila is an achila of a separate chela, so to speak. And here too, I can look at this as the yisur of oto v'etvino, and I can look at it as the v'no v'oto, and therefore it doesn't matter that I do it in this way. So the fact that there was one hatra'ah doesn't make any difference. It's one law, doesn't make any difference. It's the fact that it can be defined in this fashion, independently, an independent definition is an independent chiyuv.
The shiur is separate.
There it's because the shiur is independently defined. Here it's because the act is independently defined. Even though it's one act, but the definition of what act is also is independently defined. Is it oto avet beno? Is it beno voto? Is the case given in the mission.
Is it different to be swallowed in one shot?
Yeah, it's the swallowing that's the issue. That's the aftiva.
Swallowed two zaytim in one shot?
No. So swallowed two zaytim in two shots. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, you didn't bring anything.
I have to see if you're going to return it to me first, you know.
All right.
Well,
yes, but there was no hatra'ah, there was no yediyah in between. Nonetheless, even though it's the same iser and it's the same hatra'ah, there would be in the case of hatra'ah. Here we're talking about chiyuv chatas. Where there's no hatra'ah, you would be chayav shtei chataot. Umedinu to the shmeinu b'yam. The truth is, there's no particular point. One would think. Of Sumchas telling us the halacha over here in our Mishnah, he could have just said in general that even though you don't have gufim mechulakim, it's the same isur. We know that by gufim mechulakim, obviously, even though it's the same isur, but nonetheless, in other words, let's say a person sleeps with two women who are nidot, two separate women. So that's gufim mechulakim. Over there, we understand that there's two separate chiyuvim. But over here, we're talking about two kizaitim are not gufim mukulakim because they're generic, these kizaitim chelim. So he could have said that in any case where there's no guf mukulak, but nonetheless your chayav already decided. So what's the point of saying it in our Mishnah? How the kamashulam, the reason that it appears in this Mishnah is on the contrary, is lo diacha kuchandra banan, is to tell me that even in this Mishnah, the Rabbanan argue, because in a sense we could view this as being almost similar to Gufim Mechulakim, in the sense that I can actually define the Isser differently. In the one sense, Oto Vet Beno, in the other sense, Beno Voto. And by the way, this explains why the Machloket Sumchas V'Rabbanan appears at the end of the Mishnah, instead of at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is a bigger tradition than the Sumchas. Because Sumchas is not the reason it's being said over here, it's the Rabbanan is the reason it's being said over here, in a sense. It's to bring out the Machlokas, that even in a case where it appears to be more similar to two different Yisurim, and it's a little bit more similar to Gufim Mechulakim when you have Oto Vet Beno versus Beno Voto, than it is when you have two Bonim. In the end, so here's where we bring it out, would be the latter part of the mission. So it's to tell me that, nonetheless, this is not a classic case of Gufim Mechulakim. And in this case, you're still only chayav arba'im, and that's brought out with the machlokas Sumchas and the Rabbanan. Kochan, their power, koach, lo diacha kochan the Rabbanan. The afag, in other words, the tenacity with which they hold to the sheep. The afag of the gufim mechulakim pati Rabbanan. So that's one way of understanding Sumchas, or perhaps suggests Abayim. The real reason of Sumchas, so Dilma Kasavra Sumchas Ocho Shnei Zeitei Chela Behele Mechad Eno Chayav Alachat. Maybe in fact Sumchas' reasoning is Davka over here. In fact, when it would come to Zeitei Chela, you would say, no, there's nothing here to distinguish one piece of generic Chela from another piece of generic Chela. But in this case, we're touching on a new definition of Itzer because of the fact that each Porah stands as a unique entity. So each ben is a different iser of oto vet beno, or an aim and a ben is different than the ben of the grandchild. And therefore, it's because it's gufim mechulakim. Now, which way? I'll tell you, your first approach was correct. How do I know this? From obviously another source. I can't prove it from here. Mimai. Midatanya hazorea kilayim kilayim loke. Now, it says in the Braisa, if somebody is zorea kilayim kilayim, now that sounds like he went ahead, did one act of zoreat kilayim, and then continued and did another act of kilayim. He's a loka. Now, what do you mean he's loka? Obviously, he's loka. My loka. I'm loka. How can I make a pshita? It's a lav in the Torah, not the plant of Kilayim. Of course, he's going to be higher malchus. Besides which, what's this language of Kilayim, Kilayim? I mean, you want to tell me that there's a higher malchus on Kilayim? Say, Azrael, Kilayim, loka. I mean, not that there's any chiddush in that. So, something is going on over here. Clearly, the meaning is that of this Kilayim, Kilayim, pshita, is that it's saying you can be chayav shtei malkiyo. Now tell me what's the case. But I ask you, ilayma b'zeach rezel b'shtei hatra'ot. What are we talking about? Where a guy was being zoreh kilayim, somebody warns him again and says, "Hey, funny, I told you not to do that. This is an issue loud. You're going to be chayav malkas." I don't care. And he throws another handful of seed. That is a b'feresh mishnah. Tanina nazir shayash shotei yayin kolayom. A nazir who drinks wine all day long is still only chayav one time, unless we give him a separate hatra'ah. Amrulo al tishteh v'hu shoteh. And then again his word al tishteh v'hu shoteh. In that case, each hatra'ah is mechayav him separately. V'chayav al palachat v'achat. So why do I need a bride to tell me kelayim kelayim any more than nazir nazir? Now, by the way, Tosus has a very sodistic point here, in which he asks, we have literally thousands of examples of brayot that tell me things that are said in the Mishnah. I mean, what kind of question is this? Brayot always expands on the Mishnah. And Tosfos says that's true, but it doesn't take a paradigmatic case and use another case for the same paradigm. If you want to tell me a din, then use the case that's used in the Mishnah as the model, which is Nazir. Why are you suddenly switching to Kilayim? I mean, there's got to be something about Kilayim that you're telling me. Not simply the din of Hatra'ot v'chulakot. You never find that. You just arbitrarily take on a different model than the standard model. The Mishnah is the standard model. Ela pshita. So therefore, clearly, what we're talking about over here is that it's bevat achat u'bat ra'ah achat. It can't be telling me a case of two separate hatra'ot, which is a given case. So there's something new. It's telling us that even if there was only one hatra'ah, a guy who's sewing kelayim with one hand and kelayim with another hand is doing two separate things, even though they're not gufim or kulakim, and you're chayav. Now, tell me, who could possibly be the author of such a sheet? Man, the Rabbanan? Ilay Marabbanan, the Pligi Ali, the Sotas. If it's the Rabbanan who argue on Sukkot in our Mishnah, I mean, for heaven's sakes, Hashnu ma'atam the gufi makulakim pati Rabbanan. If in the case there, meaning here, of our Otoved Beno case, where you have the Beno of Oto and the Otoved Beno, where you have the grandmother and the child and the one in the middle, where it's similar to gufi makulakim, and nonetheless the Rabbanan pater because the act was a single act of the same parah. Koshikin over here, Ta'akalo Koshikin. So it's got to be, therefore, Sumchus. Sumchus apparently holds that in any Isser at all, even without getting a separate Hatra'ah, the very fact, though it's generic, but the very fact that we've seen it as a separate act, just like the act of swallowing a separate Kizayit, or the act of sewing a separate act of sewing, each one is required separately, which clearly indicates to me, says Rav Yosef, to Abaye, that your first understanding of Sumchus is correct, and your explanation as to why it is said in this Mishnah, it must also be correct. That it's said in this Mishnah not to teach us about Sumchus as much as to teach us about the Rabbanan. Well, that's not really much of a proof, says Abayala, Leolam Rabbanan. I mean, I could learn over there that actually the halacha would be they're like the Rabbanan, and it's talking about actual separate chiyuvim, as we'll see in a moment, and it's coming to tell me milta agavur chayfamashon. It's not coming to address an idea of a chiddush in terms of the number of chiyuvim. It's talking about separate hatra'ot. That's not the issue. It's not even dealing with hatra'ot. What it is dealing with is milta agavur chayfamashon, the ikatrei gav nekilayim. It wants to teach us that there are two different types of kilayim, which would not be true according to Rabbi Yosha. The Omer of Yosha, Achi Yizrachita Useorah Bechatzan Bemapolat Yad. Rabbi Yosha has an interesting shita about kiloya karam. And he says that the only time you can have kelayim b'kerem is if you have kelayim in the kerem. Meaning, not that the kerem is kelayim of what you're planting, but that you are planting kelayim in a kerem, so that if you plant the kerem at the same time that you plant the kelayim, so that you have now kelayim consisting, let's say, of chitim and seorim, and at the same time you have a grape pit, a chartzan, now you have kelayim kerem. But not as we usually understand that there's a kerem and you plant something in the kerem and that's called kelayim kerem. So what it wants to tell us therefore is, kamash balan, dechizara chitav chartzan with one hand, and sorav chartzan in the other hand, that those, yes, two separate asros, that those are also a each one of them is an act of kelayim. That's all it's coming to tell me. So when it says kelayim, kelayim, it's to let us know, don't think that kelayim means what the Yoshia says. You could have two separate kinds of kelayims without mixing really chita sora and chartzan together. A chita and a chartzan is also kelayim. Or another way of learning this is that you could have kiloya kerem with the one hand and stam kelayim with the other hand, as it suggests, also a possibility. Fine, so you'd be chayav there too. Alright, so we still don't have a proof as to what Simchas' reasoning is, because Abaye is not happy yet with Rav Yosef's proof. We don't see any indication in our Mishnah per se as to what Rav Yosef would hold. But it is a general din that he says about Shnei Kezeitim, or whether it's specific to our case because of its similarity to Gufin Lechulakim. Tashma. Okay, how about this case? Here's the famous case in which a child is not sure who his father is. His mother did not wait the requisite 3-month waiting period after a divorce and got remarried. He isn't sure whether he is a child of husband one or child of husband two. So there's all kinds of questions that come up in this person's life in terms of his chiyuvim. Therefore, we're going to have various shilas that we... I'm sorry, I skipped a case. Yeah. I jumped ahead over here, sorry. Toshma, achal mizek izayit, umizek izayit. If you have over here, we're going to see very soon a machlokas about the Gid HaNasher, whether the Gid HaNasher is chal on both raglayim or whether it's only on one, which is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now, the problem is that the Gemara is not sure, because Rabbi Yehuda uses very strange language. He says that it's not clear whether it's the right or the left, and this has a lot to do with what happened with Yaakov and Esav and how Yaakov viewed Esav, as we'll see. How were they actually facing each other? But, and that we'll talk about later. But he says, Hadat Matrat in Yeshua Yemin. So the Gemara says later on, when you say Hadat Matrat, are you saying, it seems Alpi Svara that it's Yemin, in which case I'm not going to give somebody Malchus because it seems Alpi Svara. Or do you mean Hadat Matrat that it's absolutely clear Alpi, the logic of the Torah? That it's that Torah telling you that that's the Psak Halakha. So we go through various things over there in order to prove what Rabbi Yehuda held. In the end, it turns out that he holds it until you meet. But one of the things that we look at is this bride. Achal mizek izayit umizek izayit, so fake shmonim. Now, if you take from both sides of the behemoth, both thighs of the behemoth, a single behemoth, and you eat the gidan asher, you would be chayav two separate malchiot, because there you have gufim uchulakim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I know safege ela arba'im, because you're only knowing one gid anasheh. Now, hefidami, tell me, what if the case is over there? Ilein lebezeach is over shtei hatra'ot. If you ate them separately, one after the other, and each time you were given a warning, don't eat that, that's a gid anasheh, then how could Rabbi Yehuda say that you would be chayav? Since Rabbi Yehuda, at this point, is not sure which one it is. Is it the left or the right? Each one of these hatra'ot is hatra'at safek. V'shamini leilu Rabbi Yehuda diyamar, hatra'at safek lo shmei hatra'ah. We know the Rabbi Yehuda shita all over is that hatra'at safek is not considered to be hatra'at to be mechayev malkot, from the famous case of the child who isn't sure what his father, who his father is. And there it says, hika etzeh v'chazav yika etzeh. So if he beats father possibility one, and then goes and beats father possibility two, just to make sure he got, you know, whoever he was, You were kilelitze, b'chazar v'kilelitze. Or she kashni him about the chatz. Actually, takes both hands, bashes both of them with both hands. Or she kilelitze him about the chatz. So he would certainly be chayiv. In any of these cases, whether it's one after the other or whether it's simultaneous, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it would have to be simultaneous. B'vat achat he would be chayiv, but if it's b'zarkaze, it would be potter. Why would it be potter? Because each time somebody says, don't feed him, you're going to be chayiv. He says, who says he's my father? Prove he's my father. So each one of them is a suffix. So now, it's got to be there, for elapshita, b'vat achat u'batra'ah achat, that if it's at one time, with one atra'ah, you would be chayev shvonim for eating the giran arshad, because it's two giran arshads. Now, who's the man the armor holds on this? I mean, the man Tanakama? Elaim a rabbanan at pligelate sumchus. If you're going to tell me that it's the rabbanan that argue on sumchus, I mean, certainly it's more gufim b'chulakim over here than a generic giran arshad. It happens to be giran arshad from right side and giran arshad from left side. It's like saying the chalef from the left klayan and the chalef from the right klayan. I mean, it's generic chalef. Or over here, it's gufim b'chulakim and on the left, pater rabbanan. So hakalo koshken, for sure they should pater over here from shmonim. I ate giran arshad. That's an answer. Would you tell me how much giran arshad I ate? With one atra'ah, there's only one chiyah. Elalav sumchusi. It's got to be a going according to sumchus. Well, no, not necessarily. It could actually be talking about bezachazeh, and it could be a going indeed according to the rabbanon. And this tana holds legavi tana sevraki idach tana deriyuda. This tana would hold like the other tana. And that is the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Hatra'at Safek is in fact considered to be Hatra'ah, not like the Hikatzev. And that's the Tanya, Lototiro Mimenu Ad Boker, Vahanotar Mimenu Ad Boker. So in other words, this is not to be confused with Yehuda Shita Legabe, the witch Giranash, but the Rabbi Yehuda Shita holds Hatra'at Safek Shmei Hatra'ah. So according to him, the Tanya lo totiru mimenu ad boker v'notar mimenu ad boker be'ish tisrof. It says over here that there is an iser of nota. Now the question is, are you chayav on that iser of nota? Comes along now the writer to say, no, you're not chayav malchus. Why? Because since it says v'notar mimenu ad boker be'ish tisrof, it's a lav v'nitak la'aseh, and v'akatu v'ten aseh akam otaseh l'omar she'ilu p'yalah. Therefore, the Torah is coming to tell me that since you have what to do if you did leave over notar, it's not going to be machayev of you. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this is outrageous. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda should give for not being chayev of notar is there's no way to give a hatra'ah notar. What are you going to say? Hey, don't leave that. What do you mean, don't leave that? I'm going to eat it. Relax, buddy. What makes you think it's not going to be eaten? Well, you don't look like you're going to eat it. You know I'm not going to eat it? No, I don't know you're not going to eat it. Okay, so it's not a fake. What are you telling me? Don't leave it. Don't leave it. There's no point at which I leave it. I'm always able to eat it.
The possibility of anyway,
there. Yeah. So therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda really should have said is that it's Hatra'at's a fake. Since Rabbi Yehuda himself has to say over here the reason that he's not Chayav Malchus is because it's a lav v'nitak la'aseh, apparently there's another shita in Rabbi Yehuda that holds Hatra'at Safek Shema Hatra'ah. As if that's not bad enough, we have yet a third reason why there shouldn't be Malchus for Nota. As Rabbi Yaakov says, I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm in a Shemuzeh. That's not why it's Pater from Malchus because it's a lav v'nitak la'aseh. It's because it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. It's passive. So at what point did you do something that's going to be mechayev you? B'chol lav shein bo ma'aseh, ein lo kina lav. Therefore we really have one case which has three basic reasons for us to say that you would be potter. So according to this, we're not going to be doing the midat hayom today.
Oh,
no?
It's the introductions.
I did the introduction.
I mean the chesed.
Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, what we've decided to do is to do a once a midah combination of the entire midah.
Okay.
So tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will do Ches, and then we'll do, because we fell behind. I'm sorry. Can I give you your cape? Just in case of it. I'm carrying it around. Thanks. Okay, so therefore, we don't have to say any longer. It could be talking about that it's two separate acts, and you would get malchus even though it's bezeh ha-bezeh. Okay, so we still have no raya for our sugya as to what Sumfas's reasoning is, because that may not be Sumfas. It may in fact be the Rabban, who hold that good, that Kufi and Mukhlakim are certainly not required to use separately. So, what then is it? Okay, Tashma, how about from here? Achar shnei didi mishtei rechot. By the way, this is where we end up proving that Rabbi Yehuda does know which particular yerech it is. So here we're talking about two animals in which he took two gidim from the correct two yerechot of the two animals, and in that case, sofek shmonim, and Rabbi Yehuda omer inu sofek ela arba'im. So since we need a case over here that has two separate animals, it's clear that there's only one gid per animal. Therefore, this is Rabbi Yehuda. And since Rabbi Yehuda says that you are Chayav Malchus over here, it's clear that he knows which one it is, because otherwise it would be a Sofek. And this is the end of the proof later on in Perek Yidan Asher, that in fact Rabbi Yehuda knows that it's B'shal Yamin. And when he said Dadat Noten, he meant Adat Adat Machrat, Adat Torah's Machrat. So, Eina Sofek Ela Arba'im. Now I ask you, please explain the case. Eichidami. Ilan Abizeh Akazel B'shtei Hatra'ot. We're talking about a case where he ate two Gidan Arshas with two Hatra'ot. How could Rabbi Yehuda say you're only Chayav Arba'im? I mean, everybody agrees. It's two separate Hatra'ot. So, Arba'im Etulo. Ela Pshita Bevat Achav. It's got to be talking about over here that he ate this with one Hatra'ah, and I'd like to understand who the Tanakhama is who says Shmonim. So the man Tanakhama. Ilay the Rabbanan to plegei like the Sumfas. What would be the reason for the Rabbanan to tell me that you're chayav Shmonim with only one Hatra'ah if in our own Mishnah they were only willing to be Machayav Arba'im even though there were two different ways of defining the Yitzhar? Where you have the Oto Vedbino and the Bino Oto, with Kufim Mukulakim, and nonetheless, Padre Rabban Rachel Okoshike. Therefore, it's got to be going according to Sumchas, and we're back now to a proof that according to Sumchas, indeed, you would be chayav on every separate Akilas Kazayas. And that was the first explanation that Abaye gave for Sumchas. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. It may, in fact, be talking about Leolam Bezachazet. It may well be talking about in which there were two separate acts, but that wrote and so on. And you're saying, well, so how could Rabbi Yehuda possibly argue and say there's only 40? I mean, everybody agrees each act with each act. Ah, the separate chiyuv. Well, I'll tell you, the Kahamer, my time to Rabbi Yehuda, your objection before that there would be no way of explaining Alib and Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. It might be well be a case could go into Letbe Kizayit. We don't have, in one of these cases, a kizayit of Gidan Asher. And this is a completely different issue. We'll see later on in Perek Gidan Asher that there's a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda as to whether the Gidan Asher is considered to be a birya. Is it considered to be an entity? If it's an entity, it doesn't need a kizayit. If it's not an entity, in other words, if an entity isn't defined by the iser, but rather it's defined by the organic wholeness, which is the question over here. So if it's an entity, because this is a particular Isser, then this is the whole Isser. If I ate the Gid, so then I'm Chayav. If it's not considered to be an organic entity, then it's like every Isser, Achila, and the Torah, it needs a Kizayit. So all that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying is, well, man, you can only be Chayav on one Kizayit, one Malchus Arba'im. And the Rabban would say, no, well, that's not true. Because even though there may only be one Kazayas, you might have had two different entities of two Gidim, and therefore you could have Shmonim. Well, obviously with the proper Hatra and so on. I mean, that we're not dealing with that question at all over here. So that might be the question, in which case we still don't know what Sumchus would hold. It has nothing to do with Sumchus. My Tanya, according to the Rabbanan, Chayav, where's Review Hudomer, Achi Ahebo Kazayit, he holds it's only called a piece of meat. It's an osir piece of meat, basically, and therefore requires the Kazayit of Akhila just like anything else. And so we're left basically standing without clear proof as to what Sumchus's reasoning is. Whether Sumchus would have expanded his halacha to tell me even Ochel Kazayit, the Kazayit of something like Chela, or it's unique to our Mishnah where we have Gufin Mukulakim. As I pointed out to you, there's a slight indication in the structure of the Mishnah that it's the first and not the latter. And that is the fact that the Machlokas of Sumchus appears at the end instead of at the first part. The first part, in other words, it's easier to see that Gufin Mukulakim would be a case where you have the Av and the Ben and the middle one. The Av and the Ben Av and the Bat Habat. I mean the Aim and the Bat Habat. When we get into the other Machlokas. The Aim and the Bat Habat and the middle case. We're coming to try to show me the Kayach of the Rabbana. It would explain that case. But if you're coming to show me the Kayach of Sumchus, wouldn't you rather say that even Ben, followed by the Aim, is also Chayim Shmonim? Isn't that a bigger finish than telling me, tell me even that considered to be Gufin Mukulakim? So there is a slight indication of the formulation of the gears of the Mishnah, that since we choose to bring out the Koach of the Rabbanan somewhat more than we choose to bring out the Koach of Sumchus, it's marked that that's the tachlis of our Mishnah. And that Sumchus actually would have gone to the extreme of saying even where you don't have Gufin Mukulakim. And the truth is, I think, that that's probably the marker of the whole discussion. It may not be enough to actually prove it, but if it wouldn't be for that, then any idiot would have concluded that, look, if this is the only place that we find the Machlokas Sumchus and Rabbanan, and it does involve Gufin Mukulakim, why in the world would we think that Sumchus is going even in a case where you don't have Gufin Mukulakim? Right? It seems that this would be the reason that Abaye was even more of the issue. There's something strange about the way the Mishnah said it. It seems not to be bringing out the power of Sumchus. And if the point of this Mishnah is to bring out the power of Sumchus, then do so. Don't wait until the end for Sumchus to be chaylik. Okay? Gentlemen, it's